The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 podcast.
And the second hour is underway. We appreciate it. What a first hour with Kim Mulkey of LSU taking her team in 2 years to the Final Four. The South Carolina part of that equation should be answered by 9 o'clock tonight. And I think everyone knows where that one's going. Let's get back to the calls. And Charlie is in Georgia. Hello, Charlie. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. I follow women's basketball quite vigorously, and I am a big Southeastern Conference fan. So much enjoyed your interview with Kim Mulkey. She's got to be one of the best coaches in America, not just women's coaches, but men's coaches included.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll tell you, I am just so impressed with the way she handles these young ladies. And I tell you, I believe when they go into her program, they come out a lot better than when they went in. And I agree with her 100%. I believe it's going to be a Southeastern Conference final. And I can't hardly wait to watch South Carolina and LSU suit up and play each other. It is going to be a great game.
Thank you very, very much, Charlie. AC is up next. Hey, AC.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Mr. Feinbaum, are you with me?
I am, sir. How are you?
Fantastic. You don't have to call me a sir, my brother.
Well, I want to. That's, you're in Canada. I want to make you part of British royalty.
Sure, please. I don't want to be part of the royalty as long as I keep cashing those royalty checks. You know what I'm talking about. Money. Now, Alabama football dynasty is officially over. Alabama basketball came down crushing. So it seems like JT should be celebrating because Miami's dynasty, the little dynasty, is going to come to an end when it comes down crashing. Pretty soon, Mr. Feinbaum. So it seems like AC and Mr. Feinbaum dynasty would forever live on. Mr. Feinbaum, let's face it. This is our show. In 2 weeks, your phone line is going to be wide open, and I'm going to call it every single day. But Mr. Feinbaum, I hope you had a nice weekend. I love you. I'm going to holler at you tomorrow. Holla.
Thank you, sir. I may take that sir prefix back. James is up next. Hello, James. James, you there?
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. Hey, Paul, listen, the question I have was, with all the success that Nate has had, does like Kentucky, North Carolina, somebody like that come after him, or does the off-field stuff that happened, does that hinder that, or what is your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, let's look at a couple of facts. He just agreed within the past 2 months to a new contract. He has young children, and people close to Nate Oates have told me he likes it in Tuscaloosa, does not want to leave. That's why he signed that new deal. So I think for now he is there. He could have, I don't think there's any doubt Nate Oates has achieved enough where he could attract one of those big time jobs. But I think in the short term, he will stay. Now, I can't predict 2-3 years from now, depending on where his career is. The one reason I think you would leave is if you don't feel like you can accomplish what other schools can. But right now, his program is better than Kentucky's, so I can't imagine why he would be interested in that.
Listen, I've got one final funny story. My wife, I've been married a second time for 3 years. My wife was never a sports fan, but we listen to your show every time we're in the car together, and I was telling her about how, you know, you have great guests, and we just happened to be in the car with Mark Stoops last week, and she's never heard anybody of that caliber that you've had on your show. And when you got through with the interview or talking, it was, she said, oh, now I understand why you enjoy the show, blah, blah, blah. And she said, all I've ever heard is people like Jim or Daryl or Larry or something like that. I said, well, you can't judge it by that. And she said, I don't know if you know who Jim Dunham is, but she said, well, that's kind of like the Jim Dunham show. She said, Paul, is Jim Dunham and said Walter and Jim in Tuscaloosa are there, comparable. I said, well, you know, yeah, I guess, you know, Walter's a grumpy old man and a dummy. I said, well, there you go. So if you ever need somebody to co-host, maybe my wife might be able for the job. But
I'm just glad, James, she didn't say I looked like Walter.
I'll leave that alone.
Because I've had people show me those comparisons. Hey, well, thank your wife for me. That was very nice of her to say that.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I think they compare me to Walter because he's a dummy more than anything else. Let's continue. Mark is in Mississippi. Hey, Mark, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, can you hear me okay?
I sure can. Thank you.
All right. Great show as always. I just wanted to kind of give my two cents on the school shootings and all
sure.
that. Man, they should require the teachers and aides and all that to bear.
You think so?
Yes, sir. I guarantee that will end all school shootings.
I mean, I've heard that argument, Mark, I don't know if I know Uvalde that probably would have saved many, many lives. I don't know about today. I don't think we know enough about what happened here, but I know a lot of people agree with you. I'll say that.
Yes, sir. All right. Great show, Paul. Appreciate your brother.
Thank you very, very much. Appreciate it. Let's talk to Mike next in St. Augustine. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
I'm just so thrilled to finally talk to you. I've been trying for over a year. Finally got.
Well, that is great. I'm so glad you made it in.
Paul, I'm a huge Bulldog fan. Went to school there. Graduated back in 19. Never mind. And I'm just proud as I can be of them. I hear all this talk about the new dynasty. Well, I don't care about that. History will tell that story, so we'll just wait and see. But it's been a fun couple of years, and I'm looking forward to what's coming next. And, Paul, can I wax a little nostalgic with you just for a moment here?
Of course.
Okay. When I was a freshman at Georgia, I just came into the school there. My first football game I went to, Sanford Stadium, was Georgia versus Alabama. Alabama was coming off of the SEC championship the year before and went on to win the national championship this year. But Georgia beat them in the last seconds of the game with that famous flea flicker play. Do you remember that?
What year was that?
Well, that was one of my questions I was going to ask you. You remember it was 1965.
I do not remember it. I really did not start following the SEC closely until probably the mid to late 70s.
Yeah, it was on the front page of the cover of Sports Illustrated. It was wonderful. Kirby Moore was a quarterback.
Okay.
He threw a pass to Pat Hodgson, who immediately lateraled it off to Bob Taylor, who ran it in. They were 1 point down. They went for two and got it and won the game. That was very exciting. But I'm just happy to finally talk to you. I enjoy listening to your show. I know some of these guys must have the hotline to get into you because they're on every day.
I think some of them have more than the hotline. I think they have our home numbers, our cell numbers, and our Social Security number. Hey, thank you very much. I'm really glad you made it in. JK is up next.
Ha, ha, ha! Woo! Where is Legend at, Paul? I think I saw him in the witness protection program in the safe house again. I know we're not going to hear from that clown because I think Alabama lost. The number one overall seed, the best team in the country, couldn't make it out round 16. What you think about that, Paul Feinbaum? Didn't I tell you last week?
The officiating was terrible. You know that.
Hey, Paul, I told you last week, anybody that had Alabama in their bracket is just playing with fire. I told you that last week. Now all y'all fell for the banana in the tailpipe. all y'all tried to kick the football, and Lucy moved it out the way once again. And now here we are back with excuse after excuse after excuse. And I heard this morning on a local radio show, what would be the legacy of this year's Alabama football team? Let me tell you what it is. A choke job.
That's pretty harsh, isn't it?
The new international sign for choking is the Alabama logo. And all y'all people out there that keep down
no,
my
no,
game,
no,
keep
JK, come on now. Give Alabama fans a break. They started the season number one in football. They didn't win. They started the tournament number one in basketball, and they lost. Who'd they lose to again? I can't remember.
Hey, Paul, I'm going to give them a break. It'll be a Kit Kat bar. But check this out, Paul. Y'all talked about my hurricane. Y'all didn't give us a chance, and we're in the Final Four. You know I'm so glad they didn't make us the number one overall seed in the tournament.
Oh, you, I was watching the women's game last night. That's what I was watching.
Yeah, we had.
So you're saying the Hurricanes got in the final? The Hurricanes men's team got in the Final Four? Are you sure?
Hey, Paul. Hey, Feinbaum. It's no surprise to me. We was in the Elite Eight last year, so we improved on last year. We got two more to go, and we national champions.
I like your. Hey, by the way, JK, I really like your coach.
Hey, Paul, this is my day, baby. The Hurricanes in the Final
Hurricanes.
Four. And Alabama. And,
couldn't
and
make a bowl game in football, but they're in the Final Four in basketball. Go figure that out. We'll take a short break. Seth Emerson joining us from The Athletic right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Seth Emerson about to join us, and the question asked, will the Bulldogs have motivational problems because of the schedule? I can hear Kirby Smart screaming the answer right now. Seth joining us. Seth, thanks for the time. Good afternoon. And who believes this, that the Dogs will go easy on preseason and the regular season because of the schedule? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Well, look, the last couple years, who did they open with? They open with Clemson, and they open with Oregon. And Kirby Smart wanted that. And that's one of the reasons he scheduled Oklahoma for the second week of this season. And obviously that is not happening because of SEC expansion. It's why he scheduled Clemson to open next year. It's part of the reason he wants to play games like that. They've got UCLA, I think, in 25 and 26. You know, it is a motivator early on. Now they open with Tennessee Martin, then Ball State, South Carolina comes in, and then UAB. It's just not the same. Now, is that going to make a big difference? It's really hard to tell because you don't really have any precedence for Georgia having this weekend opening to the season. I do think that, as I mentioned in that column the other day, they've been provided some motivation by outside stuff, and they've shown, we found out after last year, or down the stretch of last year when they started proclaiming that nobody respected them and people were predicting them to go 7-5, no one was making them a playoffs, that they will find motivation from outside critics, even if they have to make it up.
Yeah, and Seth, we showed the schedule a minute ago. Even if they don't have a lot of motivation early on, really, will it really matter with that schedule?
No, not early on. Now, if Shane Beamer's listening to this, I'm not saying they're going to walk over South Carolina and put them on the same threshold as those other teams. But that game is in Athens, so that helps. But it, in general, it might bite them if they don't have games like they did against Missouri last year. I think that Missouri game helped them a lot. I think it helped them. It woke them up a little bit, and it helped them when they did get in a game like that against Ohio State, which obviously was a much more talented team than Missouri. I'm not saying that they want to contrive it so that they're playing close to South Carolina or Missouri or Auburn, a game like that. But it is different. I do remember the 2021 season, Paul, where they had the close game against Clemson to open, but then they didn't have anything. They just romped over everybody. And when they met Alabama in the SEC championship, you forget, Georgia was ahead. I think it was might have been 10-0, remembering off the top of my head.
Yeah, it was.
But when Alabama started hitting them, it was a case of, you know, everyone's got a plan until you get hit in the mouth. And Georgia was shell-shocked. They weren't ready at that point. And then we saw two games later, they were ready when they played another close one against Alabama. So I think there is something to that. Now, this isn't like something you can say for sure. Like, everybody's different. Every team is different. But it is something to watch going into the season. It's a dynamic that is different to start this season versus 21 and 22.
Seth, I realize it's tough. It's March, and everyone is assuming Georgia wins again. But so let's talk about what we're going to see on the field. What will be the characteristics of this team, other than they'll probably be very good again on defense?
I think, and as I wrote yesterday, if you look at everything they have coming back, they could be, you want to say, like, generationally great again on defense, which means you have to come up with a word different from generationally, because generation is more than 2 years. And I'm not saying they're going to be as good on defense as the 21 defense, but they're really good. They got a lot of talent coming back. I think it's 10 players who were 5 stars are on that defense, but, you know, a lot of them freshmen who aren't going to play. But that just points to how good they are and what kind of a machine they've built, that you have, you can say that there are 5 stars who aren't going to play, or at least play that much. And they've got a lot of returning production too. They don't lose as much talent off the 22 defense, anywhere close to as much talent off the 22 defense as they lost off the 21 defense last year. Offense, I think, is the bigger question, just because you don't know whether you're going to have a Stetson Bennett effect, as in if it's Carson Beck or if it's somebody else. If you're going to be looking back and saying, you know, Stetson Bennett, who I think the college football world has finally accepted was a really good quarterback, you know, are we going to look back and say, well, he was even better than we thought? You know, there was a drop off, especially that they lost that experience factor with him. You don't know. I don't think they're going to have as many problems with the change in offensive coordinator. I think Mike Bobo is a proven commodity. I think they could look different, Paul, on offense just to fit their personnel. And a lot of that's going to depend on whether the second tight end after Brock Bowers is someone they want to put on the field as much as they did Darnell Washington. They recruited Dominic Lovett from Missouri and Ra-Ra Thomas from Mississippi State, so they could lean on the receivers a little more. Today we have news of Kendall Milton, one of the presumed co-starters, maybe the starter at tailback, is going to miss the rest of spring with a hammy. Do they have tailback injuries and have to be even more spread out and rely on the run less? There's a lot to be settled on offense still.
I hate to go back 10 years, but I will. 10 years ago, Alabama started the 2013 season everybody's number one pick. They were prohibitive to run the table in three-peat, and they almost did. And I realize that is not a great example because of the way they lost the Iron Bowl that year on the kick six. But what is the concern, just from your standpoint as an observer, not internally, about the quest that they're having? Because they are going to be the pick, and the schedule has already been baked into the cake here, Seth.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a degree of complacency. It's not even so much the schedule. The schedule could be motivating. The schedule, honestly, could end up a favor. They may need time to work out some kinks, especially at quarterback, and that schedule affords them the time to do that. But it could be – you could lose the season. You could lose the chance for the national championship in the offseason. Are they as hungry enough – I hate to use that phrase, but can't think of a better one – in the weight room, in conditioning, in spring practice in general? The 21 season, obviously, they had that because they were coming off the 8-2 COVID season when they lost Alabama and Florida. And there was a lot of motivation there. And then successfully, a lot of people wondered, well, what do you do after you finally get over that 41-year hump? Kirby Smart did a good job of telling everybody on the team, well, you haven't won anything. And especially guys who had not legitimately been core players on that 21 team, and it apparently helped that so many of them hadn't been. But they've got a lot of guys returning now, and so now you do have to deal with the mental effect, the mental danger of a lot of people going, well, you know, we're Georgia. We're going to be good now. You know, and maybe Alabama had some of that going on in 2013 too, and Kirby Smart obviously was on that staff, so he can lean on his experience with that.
Yeah, Seth, I do remember covering that team. Saban was at the end of the season was irate about the lack of motivation, the complacency, the discipline. He felt like it all came apart, even though it was his decision to put time back on the clock, which set up the kick six. Seth, in terms of Kirby Smart, and you hear him more than anyone else from a distance. We know his playbook now. It doesn't matter what the question is. The answer is the same. Back to your point a minute ago, does that become a concern that they've all heard him before, and now there's really not a lot of new information to give these players in terms of what they haven't done?
Yeah, that could be something. I mean, I think he is he's a pretty good motivator, as we've seen, and he's been through this, like we were saying, at Alabama, so he knows ways to keep it fresh every year. But one place he may not be able to provide motivation anymore is the idea that people are doubting them. Frankly, we in the media have kind of, you know, unofficially, in kind of kidding but real conversations with each other, we've said, we're not going to let him do that anymore. You know, like, no, not that I think we kind of rolled our eyes last year if they ever said it, but having Nolan Smith going around saying people predicting them to be 7-5, having Kirby say nobody, not even David Pollack, predicted Georgia to be in the playoffs. Okay, so maybe David Pollack didn't, but Georgia was preseason number 3 in all the polls, so that meant in the playoffs. But you do wonder whether all these questions about the team culture and being attacked, not by everyone in the media, but by enough people, will provide some motivation that, you know, maybe they're not finding all these staff members that they have who's, you know, part of their job is to go find clips of people criticizing them, because whether it's a TV clip, whether it's, I don't know if you've said it, Paul, or if some guest on your show comes on and criticizes Georgia, they're going to find it, or someone on some message board at Utah State says something, they'll find it and use it. Maybe not this time people saying Georgia's not going to repeat. Maybe it's now Georgia is a team that does not have the right culture. They've got thugs. They've got this going on. They're just and some of that would have happened without the Jalen Carter car crash stuff too. When you are the 2-time defending national champion, you are no longer the feel-good college football story. They are no longer college football's version of the Boston Red Sox Chicago Cubs, the lovable losers. When will they get over the hump? Well, now they not only got over the hump, but they did it again. And so they're the Boston Red Sox circa like 2008 after they won their second World Series. They are the team everyone's going to take shots at. Everyone's going to be opportunistic in taking shots at them, fair or not. And they now, I think, will probably use that as your motivation. If they're back in the playoffs, And if they're in Houston at the national championship game, that's what you're going to hear people saying is – that's what you're going to hear Georgia players and staff saying is back in the offseason, we motivated us by ripping off.
Georgia is the most overrated team in college football history. They'll never win another championship again. Okay, I was just saying it for fun, just to see if it made their sizzle type.
They only won the championship in 21 because Alabama lost both those receivers.
Exactly.
They only won in 22 because Marvin Harrison Jr. got hurt. Yeah. That's it. There you go. There's your soundbite.
We're trying to help out, Seth, because I have a feeling Kirby Smart and his sizzle team is going to need it, because I don't know anyone who would dare go into the murky waters that we just played around with. Hey, Seth, always great to have you on. Thank you so much. Seth Emerson from The Athletic on the conundrum that is Georgia football. Too good. We'll be right back with your phone calls.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and Jim is calling next. Hello, Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Paul. How are you today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
I'm going to disagree with you about the handling of the Miller case at Alabama. The athletic department investigated. They were told that the player had no participation in it. He was going to be a witness. How can you say he deserves a suspension? And that's
Jim,
all the
Jim,
media
talked
about.
Jim, hold on
the
one
whole
second.
Tournament.
Jim, I've never said that.
You came awful close to saying it. You talked all around it.
Well, there's a difference between talking all around something and saying it. And you said I said it, and I didn't say it. So whatever
no,
you.
No, I said the media said it, Paul.
Well, the media a lot of people in the media did say that, and you are correct. And maybe the media doesn't have the same faith in what the university said as you do.
Yeah. And so. You know, they've slaughtered the kid. I don't want to say he was in the wrong place at a wrong time, but he was in a life learning lesson there.
Well, that I completely agree with you on. I would think anyone who goes through something like that would be affected by it forever.
Yeah. So I think Alabama did its due diligence. There were no charges brought against him. They said that he was only a witness. There was not anything to prosecute. Why can't the people leave the kid alone?
Well, Jim, I don't think anybody's ever going to really mention it again, because I doubt Brandon Miller will be spending much more time in Tuscaloosa.
I have to agree with you there, Paul.
Well, thank you very much for your call. You be well. You take care of yourself. Elliot is up next. Good afternoon, Elliot.
Hey, Paul, I'm glad I'm on. My wife's getting upset because I had to put you on earphones, and she loves the show.
Thank you.
Hey, I gave up Paul Feinbaum for Lent, and then guess what happened this weekend? Alabama lost, and the OSU women's program, for the first time in 30 years, made it to the Elite Eight. So I had to call in and just say that the Big Ten's coming for the SEC and the women's basketball. My wife's also happy that you're giving the women's equal airtime. And just enjoying the show today.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to hear your wife paying attention to us. You be well. You take care of yourself. Chip is up next in Georgia. Hello, Chip. Trey is up next. Hello, Trey. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I want to talk to you about three things I noticed over the weekend in both the men's and women's tournament real quick. One of the things is, did you see the Kansas State coach go in the locker room and talk to the Florida Atlantic players after they had lost? And what a just an amazing show of sportsmanship. Did you happen to see that?
I heard about that, yes.
It was pretty amazing. And number two, how about Caitlin Clark? Is she not just an amazing female basketball player and the things she did last night? She's pretty amazing. And then one other thing, Paul, you know, I was official for about 40 years. And, you know, before we go into court, we talk about the best players on the teams and tendencies and things of that sort. And this weekend, and it happened in the Alabama game, not just on Brandon Miller, but the kid for San Diego State, too. The two best players sat most of the first half because they picked up two quick fouls. And then they did the same thing to Drew Timmy the other night. And you know, as an official, when you're on the court, people want the best players to stay on the court, Paul. And there was a couple of fouls, one they called on Miller and the one they called on the San Diego State kid that were ticky-tacky enough that they could have let it go. But I just believe in trying to let the best players stay in the game. And I'd like to hear what you have to say about that, Paul. Thank you.
Big controversy because of what happened yesterday at the end of the San Diego State game. You know, should that have been called? And my philosophy is simply the officials should call the game as they see it, not because of who's on the court or what the time of the game is. I know it's a terrible way to decide who goes to the Final Four, but it's an individual play in a game, and that's how you should view it. And besides, I think the guy would have made the shot if he hadn't been fouled. John is up next in Florida. Hello, John.
Hey, Big Paul. How's it going today?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, so listen to you earlier. You were talking to Seth about motivation for Georgia this year. I got one for you.
Okay.
What about the mere fact that, you know, Kirby, you go in and say, hey, everyone's already dying the fact that you guys get three-peat because no one's done it in over 80 years since 1936, and he can, you know, pound and pound and pound that. Not saying that they could, you know, three-peat, but, I mean, he could start with that and use that as some sort of motivation.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that is that's something that he's going to have to deal with because it's almost contradictory, though, because then you're acknowledging how successful the program has been. And that doesn't sound like Kirby Smart to me to even let the players know they won the title. So I think that's a tricky question. I'll be eager to ask Kirby about that sometime because if you start talking about doing that, then you run the risk. And my guess is he won't go that road, but that's just from having dealt with him for 20 years or so. We'll take a short break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We've had a busy one with Kim Mulkey already. We heard from Seth. We'll talk some legal issues in the next hour with Michael McCann. We'll head to Mississippi in the final hour.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. Booker is in New Jersey on this Monday afternoon. Hello, Booker.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Booker, we are doing great. Thank you.
Let me say, give it Lynn your ear. The first thing I want to say, I've been communicating with a few of your callers
who respond
that you know somebody and things. It's marvelous the improvement that they're making. Some of these guys were in very dire situations.
Well, I am really glad to hear that. And Booker, I know that ever since the incident that we talked about a couple of months ago, many have reached out to you.
Yes, but now let me say something weird has been going on. But Friday, the night that Alabama played, the weirdest thing happened that I've ever experienced in my life. You know what it is?
No.
One of the players, now your screeners know my number. I ain't putting my last name out. One of the players, starting players, one of the key players for Alabama, has the same first and last name of my son, who is 58 years old and lives where you live in Charlotte.
Oh, okay.
But guess what else they have in common?
What's that?
They have the same birthday.
Now, that is interesting.
Is that not weird? That's interesting. Now, the women, I grew up in Spartanburg. You were talking about the announcers and sports writers last week. And I remember the first one that I knew of was on Channel 3 in Charlotte, Big Bill Ward. We didn't have a one television station in that part of the Carolinas, WBTV Channel 3.
Oh, yeah.
Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, I have never seen such shooting on TV since Annie Oakley. When I watched Caitlin Clark last night. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening, Booker. Don't let me interrupt you.
That was just phenomenal. Listen, it might be something that I just talked to some of my friends, good basketball players down in South Carolina, and that is not the draw that the Gamecocks want. They have to play ours.
Well, I will pass that along to Dawn, and I'm sure she'll be right back to me. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Kent is up next in Georgia. Hello, Kent.
Hi, Paul. How's it going this afternoon?
Very well. Thank you.
I was listening to the interview you had with the young man a while ago. Can't call his name. But
Seth Emerson.
Talking about the Seth, correct. About the changing of the guard somewhat from Monken to Bobo at
right.
the University of Georgia. And the chances of Georgia three-peating. I've been watching college football for a long time, and if I've ever seen a team that has a chance to three-peat, given the and I hate to say this because I am a strong Georgia Bulldog fan and have been for years. My kids went there, and I unfortunately didn't get to go there. I wasn't good enough at football to go there. I went to a smaller school, but I think that Kirby has got things lined up in such a way that, first of all, I don't think there's going to be a big drop off between Monken and Bobo. Even though he has had problems being successful as a head coach, I don't think he's ever really had a problem being a
no, no, he's been quite good
offensive coordinator. And I think that Kirby has his ducks in a row at all times. I mean, as soon as Monken left, he moved Bobo up, and now he has hired two more former offensive coordinators, and Streeter. And the other guy's name escapes me for a second here, but he has got two guys that have done this before.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.